At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. It's time for today's Camp Notes for 7/24/24. This is, I've lost track of time, but I think it's Wednesday the 24th. We're talking about here, the fourth day of camp. On a macro level, we're back to some very hot weather, overcast, steamy, so a little bit uncomfortable. We had two fields of 11 on 11 for summer practice. That's something we've seen up a lot the first 4 days. If you don't have all four quarterbacks there, it can be a little bit of a shuffle to get people from one field to the other, so you can split those reps up a little bit. We'll come back to that in a moment. The passing offense continued to struggle mightily today. Seven interceptions. We'll get to those individually and talk about that. But the big news of the day by far, Lamar Jackson's return. I actually came to practice. I'm at the back of this duck walk line where they walk us onto the field, the reporting people onto the field. And the cameras got set up there, and we're all at the corner of the field where I normally go first to watch the offensive line workouts, so the offensive line positional drills. And I'll talk about that in a little bit here, but what I did notice is there's a huge crowd in the area there. There are multiple cameras. It might have been as many as five. All the reporters see me right in this corner and go, wow, people are really taking interest in the offensive line today. But of course, that's where Lamar Jackson was warming up, and Lamar returned to practice today. There are certain reporting limitations on what we can do. I'll just say he had a very limited number of throws today, and we'll talk about that as we go further. I want to start with the offensive line, though, because there's no Coach D today. You really notice it, too. Coach D's out there. He's got his own style and his own very, get out of here. Let me do that for you kind of thing. Let me show you how that works. In this case, Travell Wharton, the assistant coach, was leading that unit. It's a little different focus, a little bit different lingo. I'll give you some of the things that I kind of noticed. But they were doing a lot of combination blocks today. Combination blocks are something I really love to watch. As you know, the scoring system, a player gets a highlight in mind if he successfully completes a level two block after helping with a block at the line of scrimmage. So that's something that often comes up and is worth noting when a guard or a center in particular can do that. There was a lot of combination blocks in today's things, a lot of emphasis on staying hip to hip. In fact, he used that word, stay hip to hip, stay hip to hip. You release, get up, and you hit the guy in level two, who he refers to as a bug. I had not heard that term before, but it's good. He wants to squash the bugs in level two as quickly as possible. So whether it's a linebacker, whether that's a safety, whoever it might be, you need to get to the bug. So broad discussion from Wharton in terms of angles, footwork and gaps. I think there's probably a little bit less that Wharton does in terms of the hand play involved. And Coach D is big on that and coaching exactly how to get your hands in, how you lift up and use your shoulder and whatnot. He's also very big on the footwork too, by the way. Does not like wasted steps. But there's a little bit difference between these two. Still very good offensive line coaches. Wharton looks like a guy who really understands the game very well and coaches it in an impressive manner. Like I said, a lot of combination blocks. They also did some pass blocking with handoffs left and right. So you'd like to see that. Being able to manage your depth well, in particular when doing a stunt handoff, is very important. Very hard to blow it when your opponent is just a guy holding a pad, but still not bad in terms of seeing that the Ravens practice this. They also did multiple pass off drills. So I've seen that done before, obviously, where a player will move outside and have to make a hit on each of three consecutive pad holders, we'll call them, as he tries to line up his ultimate block. So if you have players that snuck two gaps, you might need to do some things with multiple pass offs, or you have something more complex happening with a blitz and a stunt at the same time, you might have to do it. I noticed a little bit of conversation with Tykeem Doss, who got some advice on the need to get to his level two opponent quickly. So it's always nice to see if you can see a little bit of the conversations, hear a little bit of the conversations. It's really nice to have the offensive line practicing so close to an area where it can actually stand. So I really look forward to the days when they're on that far field from the building, because the offensive line's right in that corner. Roger Rosengarten got some advice on wasted footsteps, and it was kind of a demonstrative left foot, right foot, not quite the hokey pokey, but you know, you get the idea that the guy was, you know, he's taking too many steps to accomplish what he needed to do. So he got some advice on that. Linderbaum spent a little bit of time on the sidelines. So these guys were both outside of the play at the time, talking to Daniel Faalele on steps and hands. Always really nice to see that for a couple of reasons. First of all, you like to see a player who wants to share his understanding. And sometimes players feel like they're competing with the role with another player that's out there. And it's good that Linderbaum obviously doesn't feel that. He's an established, you know, star in this league now as a center. But Faalele, you know, competing, I think we would be the fair way to put it for a guard spot at this point. You might even say has an upper hand. He's been certainly getting a lot of reps. But anyway, certainly to see Linderbaum coaching Faalele on the sideline, whether it's steps or hands, is good to see. And that was what I took from the offensive line. They're not out there for that long, but some interesting stuff without Coach D there. Now let's get to the big elephant in the room, which was Lamar returning from his 3-day illness hiatus. And he came in and, first of all, looked just fine in terms of throwing to the equipment guys, which is the first thing they do when they're warming up, four centers, four quarterbacks side by side. They throw some passes. Everything looked okay. Then the next thing that Chancey gets to throw is in the 11 on colors drill, I call it. I don't know what they actually call that drill, by the way. Maybe it's just colors. That would make sense. But you have all 11 offensive players playing against this faux group of blue defensive linemen, green linebackers, and red defensive backs who are supposed to represent or present some coverage, I suppose, that the quarterback may have to read at the line of scrimmage, but that the receivers run their routes against, and I'm using air quotes because they put up no effort to stop the pass from occurring. It's effectively just a drill run against air, frankly, by the five position players. I mentioned in a previous episode that it appeared that they'd have some scripted offsides from the defensive linemen just to make sure the linemen can hold their water and that the quarterback either can continue the play or even switch to a deep pass as it's, you know, kind of a free play has been offered. So we saw some of that in this game, just nice, easy passing drills, basically. Lamar, the one thing you can look for in the colors drill or on 7-on-7 or even in just individual receiver drills is you can look to see, is the pass where it needs to be? Is the pass targeted well? So if the receiver has to slow down to get the pass, that's not good. That pass was probably underthrown. If the pass is overthrown, you can generally see it because it usually falls incomplete. If the receiver has to reach back for the ball, that's not good. You want the receiver really to catch the ball in stride. In particular, on crossing routes, I think that's pretty easy to do, and yet there's a fair number of throws that come in behind the receiver. When they're running a seam route or something, it's harder to hit the receiver in stride, and you have to kind of look at it. So anyway, now you know the basics, what I'm looking for. I'll talk about Lamar himself. So the first throw was a nice, crisp 20-yard throw over the middle. Looked good, like he never left. Then he hit Andrews in stride, 30 yards down the seam. Beautiful, lofted ball dropped right in the bucket. Andrews ran under the football and very much caught that ball in stride. He's running at full speed when he got it. So it would have been a really nice play had that sort of thing occurred in a game. Might have been a touchdown. And then he threw a ball that was on a line about 25 yards, but just a little behind Deontay Hardy, who had to reach back for it. And then Deontay Hardy, who is a very gifted athlete, of course, you know, was still able to turn upfield and make a play. But, you know, it was a B-minus throw probably instead of an A throw on those first two, I would have said. So, you know, pretty solid. Or maybe a C throw even, I would say. I don't want to grade him on the curve here. By far, when you look at Lamar throw those first three throws, and he only got three, he was the best of the quarterbacks. Now, one of the things that showed up and I thought was interesting is Lamar was slotted behind Josh Johnson in terms of when he got on the field today. So Josh Johnson was still the quote-unquote number one quarterback, and Lamar was the number two quarterback in those terms. I think that may just be a Harbaugh thing about when you return from practice or whatever. But obviously, you know, Lamar, one benefit of having Lamar be the second quarterback on is that he might get to throw to a couple guys that he doesn't normally get to throw to. There's probably a little bit of that today, but most of his throws were to players that he's very familiar with. Let's see, what else did I want to say? So then his next opportunity comes in 11 and 11 play. Excuse me, I'll just take a drink here. And he threw four passes that I noticed. It might have been five. It might have been four. It might have even been six, possibly. But I only noticed four passes. The first was an 11 on 11, was an incomplete, overthrown in the end zone in the left corner, approximately 20 yards. I did not even see who the receiver is, but I think it might have been Bateman. And it would have been on his side of the field. And overthrew him by a significant amount. I would say 5-6 yards he overthrew the ball by, and whoever it was could not get there down that left sideline. Then he threw a short pass to the right. I think that one was complete, but I barely even make a note on a dump off pass. And I regretted in this particular practice, for some reasons we'll get into, not doing it for Jackson. So anyway, that pass, I believe it to have been complete. And I believe it to have been to a running back swinging out of the backfield that he got the ball too late. Now the third pass, 25 yard throw between, well, outside the right numbers as I have it recorded here, overthrew Bateman and was intercepted by Humphrey. So, you know, we're starting to get a little concerned about Lamar in real 11-on-11 play here, given this is his first time of camp. And concern is not the right word, of course, because Lamar is the reigning MVP. I'm sure he'll be back, but didn't appear to be having a particularly good day. And then his fourth pass was another swing right to Justice Hill. Now, the ball was behind him. Justice made a pretty good attempt to turn his body and then was stumbling backwards, bobbled the football, and eventually dropped it. I think the real problem, obviously, was the throw and how that was, and not Justice on the catching end. But Justice possibly could have hauled it in. That was the last pass that Lamar threw of the day. Now we have reporting restrictions that don't allow me to tell you what happened after that. I'll just say that was all the passes that Lamar threw. So we will move on to the next topic. And I'm sure, by the way, if you look around, whether it's Twitter or because there'd be fans there who are not under reporting restrictions who might be able to tell you what happened. I can't do it. So anyway, Dayfield, as I mentioned, or maybe I did not mention, with interceptions by the defense, 7 total interceptions by the defense. Now, last season, last camp, we had such a day also with 9 interceptions by the defense. That was worse. A lot of excuses were made about, you know, the it being a lot of third and long, fourth and long situations where this situational football, they had to put the ball up and then some just interceptions occurred. I don't think there's any way to coach speak your way out of this one. It was just a really ugly day of the football getting put in harm's way. And more importantly, and I hope this is what I can really derive from this, is that the defense just is playing incredibly fast and has a ton of secondary talent, because the rookies are coming through. Some guys who have not done well are coming through. And a couple of guys who've been around for several years, not done anything for the Ravens, are coming through. And then all the stars that you expect to come through are coming through. And we're going to talk about all that, because there's 7 interceptions here, and I'm going to give you all of them one by one. So the first thing was Lamar getting picked off by Humphrey. Already talked about it. Overthrow for Bateman, about 25 yards by the right sideline. Second one, Humphrey had another interception later. Actually, it wasn't the second in order, but he had a ball that he tipped to himself on a pass from Josh Johnson that was intended for Flowers. It's on the right side of the field. I can't tell you much more than that about the play, but a nice play where he played good tip drill football to keep control of that interception. We had a 7-on-7 interception by Hamilton versus Devin Leary. Looked like he might have been underneath in zone coverage, made a play because he was in space. There's nobody near him when he made this pick. And typically that means the ball had the wrong trajectory. And Hamilton, a hulking presence, as I commented a number of times on this show, about his ability to create problems for quarterbacks and usually create fear for quarterbacks just as being a very long underneath defender who can get up and tip a football. So that was nice. Even though 7-on-7, you don't see very many interceptions in 7-on-7, but this was a good one. He was just well positioned. I blame that one though way more on the quarterback given how Hamilton was spaced in that situation. All right. Trayvon Mullen. Now there's a name, a guy who was on NFI last year, re-signed. I think he was on NFI, but anyway, he wasn't available to the Ravens last year. Re-signed this year, cousin of Lamar Jackson. He had two picks on the day. Really nice step forward for Trayvon Mullen, who's a guy now we really want to watch carefully as the preseason games go, because the Ravens, you know, the end of their cornerback list, particularly on the outside, they have some choices to make. They have a bunch of players who look various degrees of good, and Trayvon Mullen might be a guy who makes the team. He might be a guy who ends up at the top of the practice squad, but either way, in these preseason games, they're going to want to find out who it is they have, particularly after today. So the first interception, okay, now I didn't record exactly what happened on the first interception, was that we had one in the end zone where he made a nice interception, undercutting a route in the red zone drill. So that was one of them. The second looked like it might have been flagged. He was in coverage of Kirkland on the left sideline. There were people asking around, was there a flag? Was there a flag on the play among the reporting group? And people saying, I didn't see a flag. I think there's a very loose kind of officiating group today, just kind of letting them play. And Trayvon Mullen on that play made a very athletic grab with arms fully extended. So, you know, sometimes how you see a receiver kind of.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Stab a ball outside of his body frame and do so exceptionally. That really like will catch your eye. This was a cornerback doing it, and it looked very good. And I did not see the contact prior to the play, but I heard a lot of people talking about the contact prior to the play. And whatever the case, athletic interception after the non-flag, and that looked very good. Marcus Williams picked off a pass, deflected off the receiver. I missed the number on this guy, but he's probably happy I did. Try to kind of body catch the ball, failed, ball popped up, Marcus Williams on the spot, ran down the left sideline, or sorry, the right side, the left sideline from the offense's perspective, to make that play. So, that one had the defense going. Generally speaking, anytime there's a tip play that results as an interception, it's like almost more cheering from the defense. It's like they have an extra, like, was a cue to cheer from the tip itself, and then it gets caught and they cheer even louder. And the defense goes crazy for any kind of turnover like that. They like passes defense and they get it, you know, they get a response certainly, but the PD or the tip from a receiver that ends up floating around in the air and then gets grabbed by a defensive back, just that's tons of cheers. And then they're looking to set up and make blocks and try and make the offense look really bad. While returning for a score. This was a day, by the way, that old scoring system they used to have where they used to count up the points for the offense and defense. Oh, the offense is very fortunate they didn't do that today because the offense didn't do a lot of things right, and they've had a lot of difficulty. So the last guy who got an interception in this game was JAD. Now, JAD's barely played in the combination of camp and preseason the last couple of years. And so it's really nice to see him make a play in the end zone. There was a lot of it was in red zone drills. I was actually watching the other field, but drew a lot of cheers from the defense. So again, it might have been tipped, or it might have just been the fact that it was in the end zone and it was a JAD interception. But he hasn't really found the football all that much in his first 2 years as a Raven, whether it's practice or certainly in the real game. That just hasn't been his thing so far. They cheered loudly in this particular case. So 7 interceptions in total on the day for the defense. Nobody got away scot-free that I could see in terms of keeping the ball clean. Johnson and Leary each had several of the interceptions. I'm not sure if Emory Jones actually got picked, but he had other mistakes on the day to make up for it if he didn't. He actually got, since he got a lot of reps, and some of those were on this off-field during the red zone drill where I wasn't really watching, good chance that he might have thrown one of those 2 interceptions that occurred down at that end of the field. I didn't see for sure, but there's a good chance that was true. All right, so let's talk about some of the offensive winners and losers. I want to go through some of this today. Sometimes you start with the bad news. There were three more guys who got false start laps today. So Josh Jones had his third in 4 days. Ben Cleveland had his first, and Daniel Falele had his first of camp. So, not good. One thing I noticed was Ben Cleveland was kind of shortcutting his lap by cutting across at the goal line rather than going around the goal post. As I always had to run laps long, long time ago in 7th and 8th grade football. But anyway, I thought that was something that you shouldn't do. And the offense was also pointed in that direction. So they were about 60, 70 yards away, but it's still Ben Cleveland could have well been caught up in the play somehow if there had been a long play or some action near the goal lines. Anyway, kind of didn't look that great. But anyway, I'm not going to pretend like it's a big deal. Josh Johnson fumbled a shotgun snap. Good day from Tez Walker today. Now, he didn't always hold on to the football, but he made some nice plays, and I want to talk about that. The first that looked really good was a toe tap grab on the left sideline for about 25 yards from Emory Jones. Really nice throw, laid in there well. One of the things about Tez Walker is he hasn't been playing too many snaps with the quote-unquote number ones. And, of course, the number ones, they don't have the number one quarterback, so I'm not sure it really has made that much of a difference so far. But Tez Walker has been on the field. I've not been watching when they've split into 2 11 and 11s, and I'm watching the field with most of the top players on it, but certainly the top defenders and most of the top, the top offensive line group, I would say, as well. So I have not seen him get a lot of chances he hasn't had any chances with Lamar, but he's been with the number twos largely in terms of what he's been doing. Then he had 2 run-ins with the same player, and that player was cornerback Christian Matthew. In the first play, he caught a ball over the middle. Matthew kind of wrapped him up high, almost pulled his helmet up off. And by the way, shouldn't be wrapping up the receiver or really, hitting him hard in any way in a non-contact practice here. That's what this was. You specifically, you don't make tackles. Nobody's going to the ground. If people do go to the ground or you push somebody from behind, it's a bad thing. You want to make up after that sort of a thing, but almost pulled his helmet off. It looked like pretty hard contact to me. He went to the sideline. Somebody was talking to him about that. Didn't look like he was completely buying into the notion. Okay. So I didn't notice exactly who was talking to him over there. I'll say it happened again a little later. The next time it happened, Walker made a really nice grab on the sidelines, kind of a circus grab, going up, coming down, rolled onto the ground. Matthew again rolled over him. Okay. Again, you really got to try and avoid that kind of contact in a non-contact practice. And Tez Walker is an important rookie for the Ravens, and Christian Matthew, I know wants to make a place for himself on the team or the practice squad, but you got to avoid that kind of contact. I did ask Hewitt about it after the practice, and he said he thought it was just football. So I guess he might not even noticed it, but whatever the case, it's football. None of the QBs really look good in terms of protecting the football, continuing on with the offense here. The backups did get a number of reps today, so they had to be shuttled from field to field. So you saw a lot of Emory Jones. You saw a lot of Leary. The one thing I'll say about Leary, and this is kind of a nice thing to say, and maybe it's his play at NC State or Kentucky for that matter, but maybe it's his play as NC State is where I think he might have initially picked it up. He does a lot of two fake plays on play action. So if you think about late career Manning and Brady, but I really associate this more with Manning, would often have a pass fake followed by a run fake followed by a pass or run pass pass. But anyway, oftentimes two fakes on the same play. And I saw Leary do that twice. I wondered if he's doing it of his own volition or whether this was play action. The play action was called to the running back and he added an extra element of fakery to it. Could have been either. Honestly, I didn't see anybody else making these double fakes. So, it could be something that's unique to his game. He's obviously more of a pocket passer and really needs to have good fakery and good ability to get rid of the ball quickly. So you want to be able to fake that throw. You also want to be able to make that throw initially coming out from under center. So anyway, I thought that was something positive to take from his play today. Obviously, it wasn't a great day for him in general. One guy, or actually I'll give you two guys who really succeeded. Dayton Wade had a couple of nice plays on offense. Number 18, if you're out there at camp and watching him, but made a nice catch over Pepe Williams, 15 yards right corner of the end zone for a touchdown in the red zone drill. Also had a nice jet sweep. He caught a nice ball on a crossing route for 15 yards. I think that might have been a colors drill or even a 7-on-7. So I don't put a lot of stock in that particular catch, but it was a pretty nice day for Dayton Wade catching the ball. And I know there are people who really like him. I think he may be a guy to have at the top of the practice squad, possibly. If he had injuries, he might be a guy who sees time this year. And I don't think he's doing anything to hurt his chances in this preseason. Scotty Washington, tight end, effectively separated himself. And by that, I mean that there was no flag thrown on a two-handed push-off versus Christian Matthew, 25 yards down the left sideline for a catch from Josh Johnson. So nice that he got the separation, probably should have been flagged, but it wasn't, and he gets a catch. Let's talk about the defense, because there's still a fair amount of positives to talk about that are outside of all of these interceptions that occurred, because there were a lot more hands on the football than just the interceptions that occurred, and also some pressures and whatnot we're going to talk about. So Nate Wiggins, for starters, had a beautiful over-the-top PD in the middle of the field. Really love to see the athleticism there to get to kind of almost swim move over top of the receiver and get his hand on the football first. Beautiful play, and we'll hope to see more of that. Malik Ham had an apparent sack that was not whistled dead with Josh Johnson in the pocket. That was a nice one. Did not see who he was going against as a blocker, unfortunately, there. Sorry about that. Kyle Van Noy pressured Johnson to force a scramble. Again, I don't always notice the offensive line number, and I missed it there as well. Deidre Sinat had a pressure by Bull Rush versus Josh Jones. I think Josh Jones was lined up at guard in this particular case, and Deidre Sinnott pushed him back and created a pressure that forced a throwaway. So that was good. Bump Cooper, who's been around the football a fair amount in the last few days, had a PD in coverage of Kadir Ismail. That was 10 yards down the right sideline. Bo Braid, a name I don't remember saying on the three shows to date, had a PD near the goal line in coverage of Dayton Wade. Another near INT there for Leary. It certainly could have been a reach out, tip the ball to yourself, or collect the ball even with one hand. It wasn't really a good candidate for a two-handed interception play, but it would have had to been a make the first part of that play with one hand. Daryl Worley. Now, Daryl Worley is a hard guy sometimes to pick out on the field because he rolls his jersey half rolled up. So if you go to camp this year and you're looking for Daryl Worley, look for that guy. Doesn't apparently like the heat all that much and deals with it by rolling his jersey halfway up so you can't see his number. But he got his hands on the ball near the end of the practice. It was only about a 5 to 7 yard throw, I'd say, between the numbers and left hash. He went over to undercut that route, didn't come super close to an interception, I'll say, but he did get his hands on the football, which I thought was good. And good to see Daryl Worley back. Good to see Daryl Worley back and playing either on the back end or showing maybe what he could do as a dime back with a play like that that's closer to the line of scrimmage. So we don't know if the dime will really be back or if there's – the Ravens could play one of two versions of a dime. If you play a 41 dime – then you have to sacrifice an inside linebacker to take him off for somebody like Worley or Hamilton to move to dime back under those circumstances. If you could be Sanusi Kane for that matter, if he's around and active on game days. But if you don't want to sacrifice the inside linebacker, you want to keep the inside linebacker on the field, you can still do it. And the Ravens did it in 2001 a good amount, and they've done it a few times in recent years, handful of snaps of 32 dime, where you play three down linemen and two linebackers, one of whom is often roving to find a pass rush opportunity. And then you play one inside linebacker who may be a rusher or maybe a guy who drops the coverage. And then you play a dime back in there as well, who typically would have a zone responsibility, but could also be one of the choices to rush the passer and hopefully get a free run at the quarterback if you do that. So they have options with the 41 or 32 dime that they could still go to a very safety heavy, maybe a four safety look in this particular case if you kept Hamilton at slot corner, or maybe Hamilton himself would be the guy who would move over and play dime while a Mollett, say, would come in and be the guy to play that regular nickel role, that regular slot corner role. All right, the last note I have in the day is Adafe Owe. Now, Adafe Owe has just been playing like his hair is on fire these last few days and looking great doing it. Today, he had a pass defense in the backfield. That's one of these things where you hear kind of a loud pop and the football doesn't come out. And then all of a sudden, Owe walks over, picks it up, and walks back like nothing's happened. There's something I really like about that. First of all, anybody else on the defense gets a PD, any lineman gets a PD, it's the event of the day. They don't have that much that they can do in terms of really creating pocket compression or being noticed on a run play is much more difficult in the non-contact practices here. We'll see more of them in that first preseason game. By the way, there's no joint practice this year, so it really will be the first preseason game. But Adafe Owe, the fact that he just kind of walked back to the ball, picked it up, act like I've been there before is something I really appreciate in a player like him. It's not like I'm okay with celebration. I love celebration. The way the defense celebrates interceptions, it's a great cue on what I should be looking for and what I should be finding in terms of who touched it and who caught it. And the fact that there was a cheer indicates almost always that there was a tip beforehand. All of that stuff I do appreciate. From all the talk I do on this show, how much I love post-play emotion and what that tells you about what's happened on the play. But I also love post-play non-emotion like this from Owe. Yeah, been here before. So it's good to see. He is having an unbelievable start to training camp, playing faster and harder than just about anybody else on the field. And he's looking great. I'm expecting a really big year from here. He had a good year last year. I think he could take another step forward this year, which will be really exciting. That's it for camp notes for today, folks. We have a day off tomorrow from camp. The next day on Friday will be the first padded practice. So I'm really looking forward to that. That'll tell us a lot more. People will still be playing at 75 to 90% speed, not looking to take each other's heads off. But there is tackling, and there's certain things they won't do in a padded practice still. It'll go for the legs in any way, chopping down a pass rusher or whatever. But they will, be playing much harder in terms of contact, and both sides will be incented to look good in that kind of a practice. Hopefully Lamar will be back in a full go on Friday, and we'll see you then. If you would, and you're still listening at this point, really would appreciate a 50-word review, in particular if you'd reference the quality of camp notes that I'm delivering. If you like them, fantastic, would really appreciate it. And it's always nice to drive some additional traffic here. This is Ken McKusick, and we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch or Tap, also on them.
Service plan required for Watch or Tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.